Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, and a warm welcome back to the Rosslare podcast. Last weekend, we were blessed with some beautiful weather here in County Wexford, so I decided to take a journey back into the past. What am I talking about, you may well ask? Well, it's simple, really. Larry Coleman, proprietor of the Coal Bunker Bar and Restaurant, along with several vintage groups, got together to put on a wonderful display of how the harvest was saved years ago, using vintage machinery lovingly restored and preserved. It was a two-day event with many local craft stalls and much local machinery on display. But for me, it was Sunday that really capped off a wonderful weekend, and I was lucky enough to witness the trashing machine being put through its paces. I hadn't realised just how much work went into gathering the harvest.
We're here now with our councillor and chairwoman of the district, Rosslare District, Lisa MacDonald, and our colleague Ger Carty here, which without Lisa's help and Ger's help, this thing wouldn't go ahead. They've given us a nice bit of funding to help us to get off the ground for the charities, and we'd like to say thanks to them, and I hope this is a success for them along with us. So we'll ask Lisa to speak first.
Thanks very much, Larry. This is a wonderful idea. I know you started it last year, a vintage weekend where people can show off their, I suppose, the old-fashioned way of farming, isn't it? And the vintage way of farming. And I want to congratulate the Bargy Vintage Club and yourselves for putting on such an amazing display of machinery and showing how the way things worked in the past, and maybe things can be learned from that, I guess, as well. It's very important to us in the Rosslare district. It's a rural district, and it's very important to us that this way of life is preserved and showcased and also celebrated. And that's why myself and my colleague here, Ger Carty, are very delighted on behalf of the Rosslare Municipal District to support this event, which we have done, and we look forward to doing that again.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a good day starting off. These things are hard to get going off the ground, but I'd imagine by the look of what's happening, we're going to have a few here today.
It looks already buzzing and very, very exciting. So anyone with anything to do, nothing better to do this week, get yourselves down to the Coal Bunker. Equally, you're already thronged anyway, Larry, so it's all going well for you.
Yeah, it's all going well, and sure, this is one part for tonight, then the barbecue, and all the queer fellas will be here demonstrating their skills of singing tonight, so, and women will be dancing, so hopefully that's the way. Lisa, we're there again, we'd like to thank you very much for your contribution to the whole thing and your support and your colleagues as well, and we do appreciate it, and hopefully we'll be able to show that later on in the year for you. All right, thanks, Lisa. So Ger is here talking to Emer, my wife Emer Coleman, and we'll interview Ger here first.
Yes, I suppose, Larry, firstly, to thank you for, you know, putting this all together and your contribution to the protection of rural Ireland and the heritage that, you know, has been around here for decades. And I know you're entrenched yourself in the rural community and your own parish here, and you're having a very important day tomorrow with the county final, and I wish you well in that. But I think on behalf of the people here and the constituency here, well done to you, to the Bargy Vintage, to your own business here, the Coal Bunker, for making this such a success. And it will go from strength to strength. It brings back memories of, you know, the times of the trashings down in Murphy's of Green Acres and the To Goat Steam Rally, and you're keeping that tradition going. Now they've all stopped, but you're keeping the show on the road, you and your committee here. And we thank you on behalf of the Rosslare Municipal District and indeed the local people here. And as well, to congratulate you on the success of the business that you've developed here over the last number of years. So well done to yourself and indeed Emer.
Yeah, Jerry, yeah, well, that's good, and we are trying to get this thing up and running, and will be got running, but it won't be running without, as I said earlier, without the likes of Willie Day, John Rowe, Paddy Hayes, Eileen Hayes. These are great people to get behind these things, and also my own wife here, Emer, that drives these things here, and drives
boss,
me.
You mean, Larry?
Yeah, boss, and drives me as well. Mad sometimes, but even so, now without the likes of Emer's work, and I mean hard work, she works day and night, up in the morning, early in the mornings, late at night, they're doing stuff for this thing behind the scenes. So, Emer, what do you think so far?
Good, I'm delighted with the turnout that we have today. It's the first year of this, I suppose, Harvest Time Festival, and look at the day we got, look at the machinery we have. great local stalls here that are, you know, we're trying to help support their business as well as supporting all the local area. And look at it, couldn't have been better than certainly better than I expected it was going to be for year one. And I'm really looking forward to the barbecue tonight, and let's hope that tomorrow will be another good day, and then that we'll have a win with the county final on top of it to add a bonus. So
yeah, and any Ferns lads will see this at 100 euros and say, what the hell were them Martins lads talk about? So hopefully we're on top on that day. So lads, to everyone here, lads, we'd like to thank Gary again. Let's go and enjoy the day now. Look, we'll see what was going on anyhow, and we hope this works out for us all. Thanks to Noel here, Noel Reddy, for coming out, doing the camera work, and he'll have some lovely snaps to show us all later on. So look, that was here now. Thanks to everyone, and hope the rest of the day works out. We're here at the end of the thrashing here today, lads. These men are the men that brought down the thrashing machine, the binder, and the whole setup here. If for these men, we wouldn't be able to have this thrashing today. So, first of all, I'd like to say thanks to you, lads, for your full effort, lads, and a serious effort what we've seen here today. I didn't realise it took so much time to set up something and do so much work with a thing. And we do appreciate it for you all. We spoke to your father there a few minutes ago, gave us a few interesting stories. Mm-hmm. So, Tommy, we'll speak to you first, Tommy. Tommy, there's a lot of work goes into this kind of a thing, and a lot of work went into it in their day, as your father was saying. But that, can you tell us a little bit about that thrasher there first?
Well, the thrasher is belonged to my brother Henry beside us here. Yeah. And he purchased that. Henry can talk about his thrasher, to be honest.
I purchased it a few years ago off a man in Wales called Martel Morse. It's about 1942, Foster's 4'6" drum. Probably nearly the last of them that was made. And the pitcher's in Lanchbury. I also brought that in from Wales. And that's probably 100 years old as well, I imagine. But the two of them are in good working order. We have other sets at home, but I brought this one today. I have a Marshall set at home as well. But we brought this one today because it was the last one we used. We got a bit of hassle there now with a broken belt, but that comes with the territory, I'm afraid. So, things went okay, I suppose.
Maybe it's no harm to see the lads. See, there's no two sides to every story. We can't just turn up and start working. We all got plenty of hearts in our day, off and set out, never got hanged on. The rubber wheels on her, that wouldn't be genuine. They wouldn't be the way they were.
She came out that way. That's why she's one of the last of them. That's why she's 1940s.
So there would have been steel wheels up to that.
Yeah, or even maybe in the 1930s it would have had rubber tyres as well, like, you know. Right. They were starting to come on rubbers like near the end of the time. Even all the last of the thrashing drums would be on rubbers, like, majority of them, like.
How long more can we see this kind of thing going on, lads? Would we? Is it getting tired at the moment?
Well, it's not getting tired, it's interest.
Still have interest, I think it will go ahead. We're of interest, but we're...
Keep the interest, as you say yourself, it's keeping the interest rather than keeping it going. We're all able to keep it going, but it's the interest in it. You'd wonder, you know, we hadn't mighty crowds over the weekend, but we had good crowds, but not mighty, so you'd wonder where that would be, like, you know.
Well, the weekend was probably fellas were going to the beach and things like that too, and there was still cutting crops of corn, like, so that could take from you too, like, but... Look, it'll stay going as long as people are interested, but the trouble is, it's getting fellas to do it. Like,
you see,
few lads that are, that, not that we know of everything, like, but you have to know what you're at here. You can't just get up there and think that you can follow that joke without some bit of a knowledge, like, you know.
The boss at home would have grown up with this, so he's had that, and Larry here would have grown up with this as well, actually, and would have had all that interest over the years. And know it, like, I suppose we have grew up with because of our dad. And I suppose we're bitten by that vintage bug, like a lot of us here, you know. But the interest in this, and like, you can maintain them things forever. Like, that lady is what, 1930? What age is she?
The drum?
Mm-hmm.
She's in the early 40s.
Early 40s, like, but the drums at home
are over 100.
Over 100, you know.
I've one at home, which is 1916, like.
And I've one at home, just 1908. And the boss's one is early 30s. And
so
yeah, it's the interest is having people being interested in it. And even our young fellas may have a slight interest, but maybe not necessarily be carrying on what we're doing. We're probably mad carrying the Hanbania, you know.
Yeah, and you're not mad. It's definitely a great thing to carry on, lads. And I'll turn to you here, Larry. Everyone, when we said, no disrespect to the two boxer, but when we were talking about doing this thrashing, everyone said, get on to Larry Bradley. So Larry Bradley is a very famous name. Larry, you're not a young man anymore, you keep telling me, but Larry, we're delighted to have you here today, and you seem to know a lot about these machines. Can you tell us a bit about
them? Well, I'm young enough to remember all, going back even to the steam thrashing and all, like, you know. So, and these fellas, like, they're great friends of mine, and I have to keep things going, keep the wheels rolling, and that's our job, I suppose. And, that's exactly. So, you know, going back to all the old
times.
They were good old times.
You're great friends. You've come down two or three times to check out the venue here a few nights here, and I walked in and wheeled out, but your look at it was always very interesting to me. And I know you, Larry, for a number of years myself, up and down with your great friend Michael Furlong. Yeah. So, Larry, you know, where do you see these kind of things going? Can we keep them going? Is there enough people to keep them going?
I hope so. Yeah, if there's, I suppose the youngsters won't, but you know, his youngsters will. Tommy's youngsters will, I know. Mine won't. They're going a different road, like, you know. So that's the way I look at it. But we'll keep it going.
Yeah, well, we do need to keep it going, lads, and definitely. I don't know if it's a yoke we'll do every year or every second year, but it's something we'll all sit down and have a review on now after this year and see what we can make it better, if we're going to be able to do it at all. Mm-hmm. Lads, look at, I don't know if you have any more to add to this, if you want to say anything about the machines or any more to that, but, you know.
We always, every year, I suppose, we've had some sort of a farmyard thrashing, either up at Henry's in Temeshady in Adamstown or home in Ballasilla or Aldgate, you know. And so we'll sow a little bit,
and that's what we're at yesterday.
That's where we're at yesterday.
We're cutting our own for our own thrashing day, like, so.
You know, and so it's nice to do it. And I don't think we've ever missed a year in our lives, to be honest.
Somewhere. It mightn't necessarily been at home, but we've been thrashing somewhere.
Once a year, every year, or maybe twice a year. You know,
last year I thrashed 3 weekends running.
You know, so yeah, it's great interest, and it's great a book to have, I suppose.
When Larry was called away unexpectedly, I decided to ask some more questions about thrashing machines.
So, guys, when did the thrashing machine first become used, or when was it first invented?
Would say, look, I wouldn't know exactly a date on it, Larry.
No, the horse thrashers would have been in the early 1800s. I have one myself, which was manufactured in 1865, I think. They're manufactured by Reading Ironworks in Britain. And we've used it a few times up our country now.
So when did the diesel come in?
Well, you would have had steam first.
You would have had
steam thrashing probably early to mid 1800s. I'm no historian on it, so I couldn't give you dates, but probably an older man would know more than I would on that now. Mm-hmm. But you would definitely say early to mid 1800s steam thrashing, mm-hmm. either stationary steam thrashing or traction steam thrashing, which are self-propelled traction engines. And I suppose diesel would have come in probably, I don't know, Larry, late 1800s sometimes.
I'd imagine so, yeah. I wouldn't be too sure now.
But the principle of the drum is
never changed.
From the day that was patent, your combine that's going up the road with all the electronics has the same principle.
Same principle all through.
It's the very same principle. So. Yeah.
Now, I understand the steam working, but how are the horses generating or turning a belt for you?
The machine, there are different types. Some of them have, we say, two horses. You have a ring gear and a shaft out there and a shaft out this way. Two horses, and they walk around in the circle. They turn the spindle, which in turn turns the spindle over to the thrasher. They walk around, they step over that, it's on the ground.
So that propels
the horse thrasher.
And was sufficiently fast to get that thing moving properly? Because I notice when you've got the thrashing going, they're giving it a fair belt there, like, mm-hmm. you're not taking it easy on it.
Mm-hmm. It's a different form of thrasher, it's a sort of a small portable unit.
Yeah.
You know?
Very small. One man has just laid the sheaves in on the table, and the other man fed it. And it's not to be unlike this machine. This machine, like, puts it through the sieves and cleans the corn and goes to the bag. just the bare horn, where the horse thrasher, you had to have another machine set up with it, which we call it a winnowing machine. It blew air, you put the horn in, and it blew the hulls and the shaft out. It was more work. Now then they weren't doing as much work at that time either, you know.
Yeah.
A few acres maybe.
Well, like if you were doing the thrashing back then, you're talking about 60 people possibly in a field. Like.
No. With the horse thrasher, probably half a dozen would do the thrashing. But here we say.
Something like this that we were looking at today.
Something like this would probably take up to 20 men.
Twenty men.
Yeah. You know, you'd have probably two ricks. You'd have a rick here, and you'd have a rick at the other side, and you'd have two men or four men feeding.
Four men feeding both sides.
Wow. Two men cutting, two men feeding the mill. So that's nearly six or eight up there already.
Yeah.
You'd have.
There'd be definitely four on the banks, four good men, because in a lot of farms they would be keeping so much for their own use, and then they had those little stone steps up on a loft, which you carry a bag of wheat that time was 20 stone.
Yeah, and
you swung up on your back shoulder and you walk up the steps, and nine times out of ten the door, you might be a 5 foot man the door before and a half, but you had to go down on your knees to get in and try and straighten up again. You know, it was hard work.
I bet you.
I didn't do it myself, but I saw it all. I was a chap, I seen it all going on around it. Yeah. You know.
So, I just want to ask another question. Was thrashing a bit like a circus? Like, if you were doing this field today, would you be doing some field close by tomorrow? Was that the way it worked?
Well, normally you would have had thrashing contractors. So, each parish could have had a couple of contractors.
Yeah, there was, not stopping you, Tommy.
No, you're all right, go on.
There was three Delaney brothers now up in Adamstown. And each of them had a thrashing set. And there was another, Phil Jackman, he was here today too. He still has a thrashing set. There were four. Tetters in Scullawag was five. Foley's in Carrigadagan. They were all in two parishes. But they walked out, you know, they'd be travelling. They'd be walking the whole winter, like, you know.
So when the harvest time came, those guys were busy nearly every week.
Yeah.
So they'd be thrashing in Larry's farmyard today. They'd be thrashing in my farmyard tomorrow. They'd be thrashing in yours the following day.
Yeah. Right.
And they'd go around and do all the farmers. Sometimes I'd say some farmers would probably have two separate thrashings.
The big ones, and 2 days thrashing.
You know.
Like,
and did they try and work that in such a way that they would be close by to the next farm? Did they go out and kind of hunt the work, or did people just come to them?
I'd say a bit of both.
A bit of both, yeah.
Probably works the same.
In our area, they both they started and they walked along every road. You know, everyone was done in rotation. That in a lot of cases.
And would you have the same farm hands on several different thrashings?
Oh yeah.
They'd all come out
to help one another. So.
And would they be paid, or would they be just helping one another?
No, odd places I think they used to. There were some of the places now, not in our areas, but there was parts of the country now, and they would be paid workers. Seemingly. But as far as I know now, and I see them, definitely Wexford, they were all, every farmer helped his neighbour, and that was it, like, you know.
They were great days.
They were tough, hard days,
but remember them with fondness as well, you know.
Larry was saying, you were talking about the weight of the bags of wheat. He was saying that's why Wexford are so poor at hurling now. They don't do any hard work.
They nearly have to take the bike to the potatoes, you know, they don't do anything.
And kids don't even walk to school anymore, for God's sake.
We walked in our bare feet,
I know.
Times change, everyone's safe for the better, but I think things might be going a bit the other way too. People live longer that time too, you know.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Jeez, I wouldn't know about that now.
I can remember being like a lot of people, even, I don't know, they were healthier.
Definitely, they were eating
direct off of the soil.
But can I ask you now, when you say healthy, there's a hell of a lot of dust in that air today.
Yeah.
And that can't be healthy.
Probably not, but...
Well, like, how were the healthy men if they were breathing in all that stuff?
Well, they're built different.
Built different.
I think that.
Yeah. Look, it was a dusty job.
It is a dusty job, I suppose.
And depends on how well you looked after yourself. Yeah. Your personal health, isn't it?
All right, lads, listen.
And they drank plenty of porter. Now, and that's at the thrashing stage, it's bottles, and the barrel would be tapped the night before.
And the women would be making the sambos.
Making the bow, yeah. That was the way, that was the goal.
Yeah.
But it was a good old days, like, but you'd go back to the boat. Yeah. We'd talk about half, but it didn't do us any harm.
I'd just like to say I learned more about what harvesting entails in one afternoon than I could have learned from a dozen books. I'd like to compliment Larry Coleman and his family and the Bargy Vintage Club and all those wonderful people who gave so much of their time to ensure that this wonderful facet of the social history of Ireland is being kept alive for future generations. It is up to you and I to help ensure that this wonderful event not only survives, but flourishes, like the charities it represents. Keep on listening to TRP.